Last week we began a series called Jesus Right at Home. And it's based on a little booklet written way back in the 50s. Some of you remember the 50s. I don't. The booklet was called My Heart, Christ's Home. And in the book, the author tells of his decision to invite Jesus into his heart and then goes on to take Jesus for a tour of the various rooms in his life. And the promise we were reminded of through Advent and the premise of our faith is that Christ wants to dwell in us and that our relationship with Jesus is meant to develop from where Jesus moves from being just this invited guest to becoming a full-blown resident in our lives. And as we know, someone who lives in a house knows where everything is and takes ownership of the house and the upkeep and the improvement of the home. Unless, of course, you're a teenager, and then that doesn't apply. But even they eventually learn. So last week we began with Jesus checking out this place called the study, which represents the place where we input thoughts and ideas into our minds, the control center of our lives, if you will. And if you missed that talk, as always, you can go online and check it out. Go on our website and listen to the recording. And as I was trying to determine which room to visit next, I realized that the author took the one that we're dealing with this morning and put it last, but I thought it would be more appropriate to insert it today as we enter the second week of the new year. So today we're going to look at the closet. Now, when I say closet, I don't want to limit it to just one small cupboard space in the house. Closets represent the places in which we store things, and those things are usually behind closed doors, sometimes even behind locked doors. And many times these spaces are the places that collect the junk from other rooms. And I'm sure we've all had the experience, maybe as kids or even as adults, where we're cleaning up a room and we don't know exactly where to put something, and where does it go? Well, let's just put it in the closet for now, right? Or tuck it in that drawer. For now, assuming that we'll get to it later, as you'll see in this video.
What you doing?
You said clean up. I'm cleaning up.
You can't just throw everything in the closet. What if someone looks in there?
They're just coming over for dinner. No one's going to look in the closet.
You don't know that. What if someone's looking for the bathroom and they open that door?
Could work out. For all we know, there's a toilet in there somewhere.
Fine, but after tonight, we need to get a handle on this mess.
Yeah, we should do. We should show the closet to Sheldon.
Why?
Are you kidding? He's like a savant at organizing. Did you know everything in his apartment has a label on it, including his label maker, which has a label that says label maker. Yeah, and if you look really close at that label maker label, you'll see a label that says label.
We can't just ask him to straighten our closet.
No, we wouldn't ask him. We'd just show him the closet and let the goblins in his head take it from there.
And Sheldon, I know tonight's the night you eat Thai food, so I went to the Asian market, got all the ingredients, and made it from scratch.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
No, you really shouldn't have. I brought my own.
Sheldon, I've been cooking all day.
Wow. Now, don't you feel silly?
Show him the closet.
It's so easy to just throw stuff in the closet, isn't it? But what happens is we don't always get to it later, and we just end up piling more stuff on top or in front of it to the point where we don't even know what's in there anymore. As I was working on how to tackle this particular topic, I was distracted by something that Katya was watching on TV. And sometimes I wonder if she puts certain things on, hoping that I'll clue into something else. Well, it worked this time. And it was a show that's been getting quite a bit of traction featuring this Japanese organizational guru, Marie Kondo, called Tidying Up. And Marie, as it happens, is a graduate of Tokyo Women's Christian University. And being caught up in this theme already, I was intrigued and I turned my attention to how she set out to help this particular couple in their state of disorganization. In some rooms, you couldn't even tell where the furniture was. And it was interesting to watch as she had them drag all their stuff out of the various storage places throughout their home and had it sprawled all over the place. And it looked even messier for a while. But she was actually preparing them to sort it all out. And they were going to be forced to make some tough decisions and to ask a question, does this stay or does this go? And if you've seen that particular program, you'll know, as I learned, that one of Marie Kondo's prerequisites for keeping something is this. Does it give you that spark of joy? Does it give you that spark of joy? Now, some of you might be thinking of things that do that for you. Some of you would say, you know, you give me my pillow and my mattress, I'm good. I don't need anything else. Now, there are many reality shows that deal with this kind of thing, and they're gaining popularity because it's a real thing. These programs catch people's attention because it's easy to be overwhelmed with all the stuff that we accumulate to the point where it cripples us and we can't even see our living space anymore. And some people might imagine that, you know, having an overabundance of stuff is a problem for wealthy people, where in fact, some of the bigger culprits are those who are relatively poor because they're afraid of letting anything go. Anyway, it was kind of timely, this interruption in my life, as it encouraged me to also want to do something with some of the few messes that I have to deal with. I have a couple. And I'm afraid I'm not an expert on purging or reorganizing, but I am learning. This talk, though, is not on how to organize your junk drawer at home. There are people like Marie who are really good at it, and you can learn a lot from them. I would probably lean towards the sentiment behind the little sign that some people have in their home that says, bless this mess. You've seen that? Yeah. And while there's humor in that, something tells me that when it comes to our hearts and our lives, Jesus would rather do something else with that mess that accumulates. The closet of our lives is the easiest place to forget about, and there's a lot of stuff in there that probably needs to be dealt with. Sometimes we hold on to things that we feel we might need one day. I'm sure you've said that. I'm not talking about wires or adapters or nuts and bolts. I'm talking about things like anger, disappointment, resentment, that kind of stuff. And we hold on to those things because we think that one day they might come in handy. But just like physical junk, spiritual and emotional life junk can weigh you down. And it doesn't matter what your personality type is or, you know, whether you're comfortable with certain levels of clutter and disorganization, it always leads to a waste of time and energy and focus. And it can actually make you less available for the things that really matter in your life. So some people, you know, wait for spring to clean out their homes, but cleaning out your life isn't weather or calendar dependent. And like we said, Jesus is always ready and always willing to jump in and to get that process started whenever you are. And one of the things we tend to hold on to in our life are past hurts. Those could be due to bad things that have been done to us. There are people who relive moments of physical and emotional or verbal abuse. Others have had experiences being swindled out of money or being let go from a job. Some dwell on the loss of a relationship because of an incident that caused some bad feelings. And those things all take up space in our lives. In a post by Shauna Nyquist this past week, she wrote this, confession, I've let anger consume a room of my heart for too long. And last week, which was last Sunday, at church on Epiphany Sunday, when we talked about light and humility and wonder, I realized I don't have room anymore for anger. I want every last inch of my heart available for love and freedom and light. I know better than to believe we can release long-held, deep-rooted anger all at once. So I'm committed to this work. Every day, I'll remind the anger that it has been evicted from my heart, no longer welcome. It's been occupying real estate that I dearly need for courage and passion. Now, it takes a lot of courage to post stuff like that. But I think she knows how widespread this is and that those who are reading it have gone through it or are going to go through that kind of stuff in their life. And hearing it from someone like her, who I know had a terrible year last year, it was filled with hurt and disappointment. It can be so freeing for other people to hear that. The way we deal with those things is to allow Christ to come and shine his light on them, and then to help us sort them out. Sometimes it's with the help of a good therapist or counselor or minister. But Christ offers to be present with us through the whole thing. The Apostle Paul seems to be pretty interested in this kind of stuff too. He writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Why is that? Because bitterness and anger start to leave this stench in your life. And so it's not just the mess, it's also the odors that can start creeping up and that you start to leave behind. And it's not something that you can just Febreze away. You know what I mean? These are things that require the presence and power of Christ, because the difficult task of forgiveness is involved. And we are given the strength to forgive by the one who forgives us. And this is one of the steps in sort of decluttering your life. And I think we'd all agree that the most ideal thing would be, look, can I just get rid of it all? Just throw it out and never see it again. But like we read in the earlier quote, we're not always ready to do that all at once. But it doesn't mean that we don't start somewhere. These things can take a long time, but we have the privilege of having Christ with us, who is with us in the long haul. And Christ can help us organize things in such a way that we won't be looking at it constantly, that we won't be bumping into those things all the time. Like the saying goes, there's a place for everything and everything in its place, right? And there are things that we can start to put in the outbox of our lives, knowing that when we're ready to release them, that we'll be able to and that they'll be gone. And there are things that just plain hurt, like the loss of a loved one. And many of you have experienced that, some in more grievous ways than others. You just can't throw those things out. Those memories are so important, both good and bad. But again, there may be a better place to put those memories. Maybe there's a place that you can put them that will serve as a necessary reminder, but not overcome you on a regular basis. And it's the same thing with other losses in your life. And the time will come when you might hear the voice of Christ saying, okay, maybe we're ready to let the hurt part of that situation go. Let the guilt dissipate and let's move on. You and I, we'll do it together. And Christ promises that his Spirit will be with you as you reflect on and you deal with those painful times of your life. And then, of course, there's the whole area of unconfessed sin. And maybe even things that linger on in your life before you met Christ. Things that you've done for which you feel incredible guilt. And you're just afraid that anybody is going to find out, even God. But you know what? God knows what you've done. God knows where that place is in your life that you are crowding these things. God knows how you feel. And unconfessed sin can clutter your life like nothing else. And you may have a pretty good idea of what I'm talking about, but you might be way too embarrassed to expose it. And that's natural. But there is nothing that Jesus hasn't seen. Nothing that Jesus hasn't dealt with before. So just ask Jesus to forgive you and send those things packing and give you a fresh start. And of course, the enemy will always come by and say, hey, remember that thing you did? I know what you did last summer. And he'll open that closet door and he'll keep reminding you of all the stuff that you had stashed in there. But when you receive God's forgiveness, you can say, go ahead, open the door. There's nothing there. Jesus has removed those things as far as the east is from the west. Do your best. And there's a saying that one person's junk is another person's treasure. But this is not the kind of stuff we're talking about. This is junk that Jesus doesn't want you passing on to anybody else. Not in a garage sale, no repurposing, no placing it on Kijiji for sale. This is just stuff that's got to go. The psalmist understood the hindrance that undealt junk in a person's life could be. And so he asked God to search him, to go into those places he couldn't see, and to rid him of that junk, to wash him, to remove the stains. And if you look back on David's life, there were a lot of stains. Sometimes there's an emotional attachment to the things we don't want to get rid of. Something we had deep feelings for. Sometimes there's an investment attachment. I mean, I put so much into that, or I spent so much on that, and it just feels wrong to get rid of it. Sometimes there's an identity attachment. This is the way people perceive me. And if I change, if I get rid of that thing in my life, people won't recognize me. Maybe people won't like me. But you know that it's not the you that you want them to know. It's not the you that God wants you to become. The Apostle Peter encourages people to live lives that reflect the cleansing work of Christ in them. And that they should, you know, then love one another deeply. But it's hard to love other people deeply when you have all this unhealthy stuff piled up inside of you. Because clutter doesn't just affect you, it affects those people around you. You start to become dull. You start to become less observant. You forget that other people have their own junk that they have to deal with. Because for some people, spiritual and emotional clutter is their natural habitat. They don't know anything else. They don't know better. And they haven't heard that there's someone who really wants to help them. And instead of showing empathy and compassion, when we have clutter in our life, it's easy to become judgmental of other people too. The 14th century mystic Meister Eckhart said, "The spiritual life has more to do with subtraction than it does with addition." Spiritual life has more to do with subtraction than it does with addition. This daughter was visiting her parents' home, and she opened the door to their room and looked inside at all the stuff they had, papers, all sorts of stuff all over the place. And she just said to them, "Please don't die. I don't want to be the one to have to sort out all this mess." Some of you know what I'm talking about. Get rid of the junk and you won't be tripping over it, and it won't trip you up. Because God has better things to put in that space. St. Augustine said, "God has something to give us, but our hands are just too full." Now, this is all easier said than done, isn't it? But let me say something that bears repeating. Nothing in your closet is going to surprise Jesus. Nothing in there is going to make Jesus want to work any less with you. No skeletons are going to frighten him. No stench is going to make him turn away in revolt. Jesus is ready to pull up his sleeves and help us sort out all the years of fear, of anger, anxiety, refusals to forgive, and everything that keeps us from the life that he wants us to live. See, Jesus deserves our best, but he is willing to take our worst to make us the best that we can be. He deserves our best, but he's willing to take our worst. And this isn't something that we can, you know, sit here and do in one morning. But maybe we can take some steps forward in the days and the weeks to come. So how are you doing in that department? Do you have stuff that you've been stashing away, hoping that no one will see it? Does your life look pretty decent on the outside, but you know that behind certain doors of your life, there are certain things that you know you would be much better without? This is not easy stuff. So this morning, I just thought we could take a few minutes to just quietly reflect and pray through some of these things. It's not going to take long because I know not everybody's comfortable with this kind of thing, Nobody likes long, long periods of silence. But it might get some of us started, and that we'll be able to do some of these things throughout the week and even beyond that. So to begin with, we can confidently pray to our Father in heaven this prayer that the psalmist prayed. Just pray it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to take a moment to invite God to speak to you. And we're just going to pray that first sentence of that prayer one more time. Would you pray it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. That's giving Jesus the key to that locked compartment. It's opening the door and saying, you know what's in there already, and I know you love me. So go ahead, look around. Let's just take a few moments of silence just to let Christ do that in us. And now we're going to pray these next words from that same verse. Let's say them together. See if there is any wicked way in me. This is inviting Christ not just to enter and take a quick glance, but to get in there and dig through whatever's piled up and see if there are things in our lives that are not serving us well, that are not serving others well. And we might want to pray something like this. Lord, it's been a while and things have been piling up. Resentments, bad feelings, things that I've done, things I know I'm not pleased with, things I know you're certainly not pleased with, things that I've been rationalizing away. But I know, and say these next words with me, I'm safe with you. I am safe with you going through and exposing all those things in my life. So let's take a moment just to do that in quiet. Then with everything laid out, and it might look pretty messy, ask Jesus to help you sort these things out, to get rid of things that have hindered you in your life, and that you would keep only the things that give you that spark of joy. Because Christ wants to fill you with his joy. And sometimes there's just no room for that. So can you pray this simple prayer with me? Help me let go of the clutter in my life and make room for things that will bring me joy. Fill me with your joy. There is something so satisfying about living in a clean space. And that's the kind of space that Jesus wants to turn your heart and your life into. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we invite you into the closets and crawl spaces of our lives. And we do so with confidence, knowing that you love us so much and that you want the very best from us and for us. You are willing to take our worst to make us the best that we can be. Help us deal with the messiness that we've allowed to accumulate. Help us forgive those wrongs that have been done to us. Give us the courage to confess the wrongs that we've done and help sort out our lives. May this year be one in which we experience the spark of joy that only you can give. In Christ's name, amen.